be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is America Today on the Voice America Kids channel. Each week we discuss what's going on in news and politics. Now, here is the host of America Today.
Welcome to America Today on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and our topics today are going to be the rising college costs, the Nutrition Acts, bullying, morality in TV, and then we're going to end it with a family reunion story. Right now, I'm going to talk to you about rising college costs, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because I know a lot of high school students right now are worried about how they're going to afford college or even if college is really worth it. So right now, I'm going to talk to you about the teen job market. And right now, and I don't know if you're old enough to get a job, but I'm old enough to be employed right now, and I am having a really hard time finding a job. And a lot of my other friends who can't pay for gas in their car or something, they're also having a lot of problems trying to find a job to pay for stuff like that. And the reason is probably because of the reflection of the economy. The unemployment rate, although it is decreasing, it's still relatively high. And it's going to be where that teens can't get a summer job like they used to be able to, or an after-school job. I remember when my sister went to go get a job. I mean, she found a job within like 2 weeks, and I've been looking for months, and I haven't found anything. And it's because that teenagers are competing for unemployed adults right now. And obviously, adults are going to get the jobs over teens because they need it more. But I think another surprising thing that people don't know is that teens who are currently employed right now are actually getting laid off at a rapid rate. In fact, there has been substantial evidence that showed that the teen job market and the unemployment rate is, I think it was triple of what the unemployment rate was overall in the Great Depression, and that is huge. There have been tons of stories of teenagers who are in high school or in college talking about getting unemployed and they don't know what they're going to do. So I'm going to talk to you about two teens that have been dropped out. I'm just going to tell you about their stories. Juan Araheta, who was 19, he got his hours cut substantially at Best Buy, and he lives in a low-income area, and he had a full-time job, and he has to support his son right now, but because his hours were cut, he's trying so hard to find a job, and he's really scared that he's gonna become unemployed, and he doesn't know what to do then, and he's been constantly trying to find enough money to go to school because he never finished high school. So he wants to go back and get his diploma or his GED or something like that. But he cannot find another job. And this is maybe not much of a problem for like 15, 16, 17-year-olds who really just want the money, you know, just to spend it or for gas. But it's becoming a problem for 18, 19, 20-year-olds who are in college and can't afford their tuition or are going to have the burden of student loans and they don't know how to pay it off. And I know that right now, if you have friends who are about to graduate soon, that they're really concerned about what college they're going to go to, if they're going to be able to afford it or not. And they don't have jobs. I know a lot of people, they cannot find jobs who are teenagers. Jobs are very scarce right now, and people want to find people with more education, maybe just more experience, and teenagers having only been in high school or not even finished with high school yet don't have that much experience, and they're getting, you know, picked over a lot. And the concern right now for teenagers is, if I don't have a job, how am I going to pay my college tuition? Because most kids can't afford all of their college tuition because of their family gave them all the money for college. I mean, that's not realistic for everybody, maybe for a few people, but certainly not for the rest of us. And even if they do go to college, I think there's this paranoia because of the unemployment rate in adults right now that they're not sure if they get a degree that they're going to get a job. I mean, if you have a relative who's an adult who is currently unemployed, you know how hard it is to get a job with a college degree. So we're trying to figure out how this generation, how is, what are we going to do? It's kind of scary. And I know if you're my age, you're probably thinking, I mean, if you weren't aware of it, maybe you're concerned right now. Another thing that's maybe, instead of like once you get into college, if you figure that out, I mean, how are you going to deal with the burden of student loans or books or materials? Those are pretty expensive. College books are about 100 to maybe even 300 a piece. And most of the time, the teachers wouldn't even use all of the book. It's more of a supplement to the course. And I know a lot of college students have been cutting back on materials or books, and it's affecting their grades. And I feel like right now, the whole mindset of this job market uncertainty in college, it's very paranoid and it's very scary for a lot of people. But I want to let you guys know that even though this may scare you a little bit, I think that focusing on your education could help you lead to scholarships, and it could help you because, I mean, if you're a younger teen and you don't really need the job, you just want the job, I mean, you could volunteer a lot. Get your volunteer hours in because you need those before you graduate. And what it does is it gives you experience. It looks good on your college app, and it looks good to employers. And that would be a great way, even though you wouldn't learn or you wouldn't earn money, you could still get the experience, get a little bit of an edge more than everybody else your age. And focusing on your education when you're in high school can lead to scholarships that will help pay for your tuition. So maybe it's not the worst thing that you're 15, 16, 17, can't find a job, because your education is also the most important thing right now. If you don't get a good education now, I mean, how are you going to go to college and be successful, get your degree, and get a job? But I don't want to stress you out about that too much. I also want to talk about finding colleges. If you've talked to a college counselor at your school, or maybe just your parents or a relative who's in college or knows a lot about it, I think, you know, if you hear these adults who went to schools like Yale or something like that, they always talk about the student loans and how they're still paying it off, and you're kind of freaking out about that because, you know, the high unemployment rate, how are you going to pay that off? But when you look at a college, I think one of the most important things you should do is look at the tuition fee. There are a lot of pretty good state colleges, actually very good state colleges, that don't have a huge tuition. I mean, there are some classes where you'd have to pay $3,500 each class, and it's required for you to take 10 of those. But some tuition is relatively cheap, and you're still going to get a good education, so that could be a great choice for you. I think when you're looking at colleges, focus on the tuition fee. It won't do you any good to go get a degree in business and have $100,000 in student loans to have to pay off, and you can't find a job that'll help you pay that off. Instead of looking at just what is going to advance me in the field that I want, I mean, that's still really important. But if you look at a cheaper college that's still really good and you get a degree in business and you only have student loans of maybe $30,000, that's going to be a lot easier for you after you get out of college. So I think right now for the people in my generation, what we should do is stop worrying about now and start thinking about what would be better for us in the future. Because if we're stressing about things now, I mean, think of how stressful it's going to be when you have your whole life to look forward to. I mean, high school and high school jobs, I know it's sort of the cliche, you get a job and you can drive wherever you want and you can pay for all this stuff and it's really cool, but you have to be more realistic about the time you're living in right now. And maybe you can't afford everything you wanted to, but I think that's the reality of a lot of adults right now. So what you have to do is think about the future. Think about, okay, maybe think about after college. Think about your first few years in the career that you're going to do. Think about your career in general, because I know a lot of teens aren't really thinking about a career. They're just thinking about, I need to get into college. College is this huge thing, this huge hurdle. And once they get past it, they feel like, all right, I'm done. I don't need to do anything. I think the mentality is, instead of just trying to get over this, just hurry up, is sprint to the finish. You need to pace yourself and think about the future. All right, well, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and our topic today has been the job market. And right now, we're going to talk about the Nutrition Acts and bullying, reality TV, and ending it with a nice family reunion story. So if a lot of you have heard about the Healthy Hunger Free Act that the president has signed recently, you may be wondering what this all includes. So before I start talking about it, rambling on forever, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on what this is. So the president and Michelle Obama has signed this act, and it's going to give $4.5 billion in funding to schools over the next 10 years. And what it's going to do is it's going to give schools an incentive to get healthy lunches into the school program, as well as giving kids in low-income areas better lunches, or just streamlining the application process for free lunches. Now, there have been a lot of politicians who are against this act because they're saying that the government overreach, or maybe it's too expensive. But Michelle Obama has said that there's nothing more important than the children and their nutrition and what's better than for today. Here's what's going to happen once this all becomes in play, because it's already passed and everything. So the schools right now, if you are in a free lunch program, the state reimburses about $2.68 for every free lunch that a kid qualifies for. But the government is actually going to give 6 cents more per lunch. And Obama is even talking about giving 18 cents per lunch more. All right, so we're going to take a break. My name is Mackenzie. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. More on this topic after the break.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m., whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes, because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3, that's 6 p.m. Eastern, is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Thank you, and welcome to America Today on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and our topics today are the rising college costs, nutrition, bullying, morality in TV, and then ending it with a nice family reunion story. Now, we've just been talking about the Healthy Hunger Free Act that the president and Michelle Obama have signed recently, and I'm just going to give you a little background and just continue where I left off. So basically, the government is giving $4.5 billion in funding over the next 10 years to public school systems. So that way kids in low-income areas can get better lunches, or just more of them can qualify for free lunches, or they can qualify faster. And all kids, whether you're getting a free lunch or you're paying for it every day, can get healthier lunches. Now, the government reimburses $2.68 per lunch per student for students that qualify for the free lunches at public schools. This rate hasn't changed since 1973, and it's now raised to up to 6 cents. So that way, if you're getting lunches that are free in the school system, that your school gets rewarded more for that. And that's going to help the schools help more kids in this program. And what they're doing to give the schools the incentive is that they're only going to give them the 6 cents if they meet some nutritional standards. It's yet to be decided, but it will be decided by the Secretary of Agriculture. And Obama was even talking about more funding, because some people are saying, you know, this isn't enough. So they're going to do about 18 cents per lunch if it gets passed, something happens there. But I know that there's a lot of controversy about that, this bill in general, if you've watched the news or you hear people talk about it or something. And what they're saying is that the government is trying to take over every aspect of our lives, what we eat. You know, we shouldn't be told what to eat, and that they're completely controlling it and they're not allowing us to do anything about it. And they're also saying that it's extremely expensive and it's wasteful. And right now, I can't believe that some people would even know what the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act is and think that it's wasteful, or think that it's the government trying to take us over. I think there's so much paranoia about the government taking us over, and that people just don't want anything. People want their liberties to eat unhealthily. Well, I think if you really listen to what the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act is doing, it's not banning junk food in schools at all. It's merely giving schools an incentive to have healthier food standards. And if you have a school lunch system with healthier food, why not take that offer? And kids in low-income areas might not be able to afford the good food that we all take for granted and the nutritious food. And kids need good nutrition. I don't care if you're 6 or you're 16, you still are growing and you still need the proper nutrition. And as for the it's too expensive sort of ordeal, well, I agree with what Michelle Obama had said, that there's nothing more important than the kids, because the kids are going to be what our government is tomorrow. And the obesity rates in children are pretty astounding. And I think in one state in Tennessee, 36% of kids in elementary schools were obese. And that's a huge number for an elementary school. And that's only going to lead to bad habits and going to lead to a lot of health issues. So I think what the government is trying to do is just make kids healthier. You got to teach them habits to make them healthier and lead happier, more successful lives. And so what they're doing is offering better food. That's all they're doing. And if you feel like your liberties are being taken away, just know that you still have rights. They're not necessarily saying all public schools are not allowed to have this kind of food on campus, because that's not what's happening at all. They're just giving you better choices. Now, if you feel like you don't get to eat what you want, you can pack a lunch that's doesn't meet the nutrition standards. It's not all about, you know, the government's taking us over and they're going to force us to eat something. Because I think all they're trying to do is reverse the situation. Right now, if you want to eat healthier instead of eat cafeteria food that doesn't meet nutrition standards, you have to pack lunches. And that can get expensive as well as probably just a little bit annoying. It's more convenient and cheaper for students to be able to have nutritious food. And if you feel so objected to this whole nutrition act, then you can still pack lunches of whatever you want. They're not banning it, and I extreme importance on that. So I don't see how everybody can be so upset about it. The government overreach, I just don't understand. All these politicians have been talking about is the obesity in America and how we need to make us healthier. And we're one of the most obese countries in the world. And so we're just merely trying to help it. I think a lot of people are just skeptical or they're afraid of the government. And if you've heard one of my earlier shows about talking about internet safety and how the government was trying to monitor private industries so that way they weren't allowed to look at your information and sell it. A lot of people were angry about that because they feel like the government is going into their lives too much. But what the government is actually doing is trying to help you. You need to understand that the government isn't your enemy. The government is there to try to protect you and your life and your liberty and your pursuit of happiness. That's what all the laws are supposed to do in America. And this isn't doing any bad. This is just helping you in your life and leading a healthier lifestyle. And kids especially, it's not just adults. Adults, I think they forget how easily kids are manipulated and how they're tricked and gullible. Because when you read these, if you go to the grocery store and you see all these healthy, low sodium options, I mean, kids are a lot more, they're easily manipulated, and adults are more inclined to actually check. But kids believe everything they read, basically. All right, well, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and our topic today, right now, is nutrition. So I'm talking about how kids are kind of manipulated by the media and the food industry, because a lot of foods, it's become the trend to be organic, low sodium, low fat, trying to get everything out of that. So if something says it has fruit in it or it has 2 servings of vegetables in it, they expect that to be true, and kids expect when they're eating that to actually have nutritious benefits. But actually, there's been a study, and this is really interesting, and I think I'm going to talk about this right now, is that a new study on the shows that claims of kid-friendly foods that are super healthy are actually really misleading. They don't even meet the nutritional standards. There's an 84% of the products tested didn't meet the nutritional standards. And these are things like cereals and yogurt and soup. And a lot of people think that those things are healthier choices. You know, you see the label low sodium, no saturated fat, no sugar. But this study claims that the labels are either lying, but that it kind of tricks you in saying, okay, this, it may be low in fat, but just because it's low in fat doesn't make it good for you, you know? There are a lot of cereals that claim that, you know, whole grains, it's a lot healthier, but it also packs a lot of artificial colors and flavorings and chemicals and sugar. So, I mean, kids, I don't know, when I was a kid, I expected things to have whole grains to taste bad because it was healthier for me. And the food industry is trying to say, look, it can be healthy and really tasty at the same time. And kids are being tricked into it because of all of the little things that the food industry can sort of pass. So I want to talk to you about this research, actually, because I found it really, really interesting. So 48 kid-friendly foods had been deemed healthy by the Children's Food and Beverage Advertising Initiative, and 84% of those failed. Now, there are things like peanut butter and flavored Cheerios cereal, Rice Krispies, a lot of canned foods and yogurts and soups. They examined each product's sodium, fiber, fat, and sugar content, and they calculated the amounts of calories that came from the sugars and fat, saturated fat content, and they double-checked it again and again. And so to qualify, these healthy foods had to get less than 35% of their total calories from fat, and less than 10% of them from saturated fat, and less than 25% of them from sugar, and contain at least 1.25 grams of fiber per serving, and contain less than 480 milligrams of sodium per serving. Drinks were exempt from the fiber, but that was pretty much it. The bottom line is that most of these failed. It's pretty amazing, actually, and the worst were probably cereals. They had so much sugar and fruit snacks. I mean, I don't know if you were a kid, you probably didn't realize how much sugar was in everything. But if you're an adult and you eat something that is for kids, you can taste the sugar and it is ridiculous. And so based on their nutrition profile and ingredients lists of all these foods, many packaged foods should actually be viewed by parents as treats for their kids, says Burley Wright, who was an MD and a nutritionist for Eating Well magazines. And she says treats are okay, but they shouldn't be looked at as meals. You see a lot of these things that you pack in your kids' lunches should actually be more of treats for them, because you're not getting as much nutrition as you think. And so because I brought this up because the government is trying to look at these so-called nutritious foods, and they're trying to get real nutrition in there. And I think a lot of people didn't understand how unhealthy we are. If you really look at your eating habits, I know in my biology class I had to track down everything I ate. It's pretty amazing how unhealthy we eat. And so all the government's trying to do is make it healthier, make it better for you. And I just want you to know that you don't have to feel like your rights are being taken away or anything. It's just to help kids to get free lunches or to have healthier choices. So let's take a break. I'm Mackenzie. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome to America Today on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and our topics today are the rising college costs, nutrition, bullying, morality in TV, and then ending it with a family reunion story. We've already talked about the rise in college costs and nutrition, so I'm going to get to bullying. And right now in society, bullying has become a huge issue. And before I get into any stories or anything, I'm just going to talk about what includes bullying. So bullying can be anything from, you know, the normal, like, physical violence or saying mean things to people. But it could also be a lot of things that maybe people didn't expect to be bullying. It could be saying something bad about somebody on, you know, the internet or something, or teasing somebody on the internet, using a fake identity to annoy somebody, or it could even be just taking a bad picture of somebody and sending it to everybody and making everybody laugh at it or something. And you have to understand that a lot of people think bullying is funny and that there is good spirit to it. And I think there is a certain level of where it's okay to kind of tease with your friends. But there's a thin line, and it has detrimental effects on kids, whether you're 10 years old or even if you're an adult. And what it could do is bullying most often leads to things like depression or anxiety or extremely low self-esteem. And in a lot of sad cases, it led to even suicide. And I want to talk to you about the statistics of bullying. Now, over half of adolescents and teens have been bullied online. And about the same number, about 50%, have been engaged in cyberbullying. So a lot of people have been victims, but then again, half of them have also been the people who are choosing their victims. And more than one in three young people have been threatened online with their life. That's huge. And over 25% of adolescents and teens have been bullied repeatedly through their cell phones or some other thing like the internet. And well over half of young people do not tell their parents when cyberbullying occurs. There are a lot of kids that when they're being bullied, they try not to show it because they're embarrassed about it. And so you might not even know that your friend or some kid in your class is being bullied when it's having a huge effect on them. Now, studies show that as many as 43% of kids will experience bullying on the internet or over mobile devices. In September of 2009, the National Institutes of Health reported that about 14% of students experienced electronic aggression in the previous 2 months, so like August and July, ranging from malicious rumors, password violations, and site hacking to photo manipulations forwarded to classmates. I know a lot of bullies think that it's funny or it's in good spirits, but you have to really look at the person that you're bullying, and you have to make sure if they think it's in good humor or if the feeling isn't mutual, if they feel like they're being attacked. You should never make somebody feel like they're being attacked and that they don't feel safe or they don't feel comfortable with themselves. That's the worst feeling in the world. Is more importantly than doing a good job and things is feeling good about yourself. That is one of the things that leads to your success, is feeling good about yourself, feeling confident. And if you don't feel confident, then you don't feel like you can do anything. And I don't want to sound prude, like you can't say anything to anybody that's not 100,000% positive, because I know a lot of kids like us can tease their friends and in good humor, but you really, really, really have to be careful and conscious about what you're saying and to whom you're saying it. It's a huge problem right now because, you know, in the 90s and the 80s, it was just bullying at school. But cyberbullying has become this huge trend, I guess I'll call it, for lack of a better word. There have been so much cyberbullying, and I've already given you the statistics that 43% of kids will experience bullying on the internet. And that's pretty huge. And I know that probably most of you have either been a victim, have been a bully, or even have witnessed it. And those are the three important groups in bullying. And what we're trying to do, or what I'm trying to tell you, is that we need to get to the root of all of these three groups that are involved in bullying and really solve a problem right here. Now, again, this is more of a problem than it was, like, say, 30 years ago, because there are a lot of websites where you can remain anonymous. I know there's a website where you get an account and people can ask you questions anonymously, but in a lot of cases, and I know in personal cases that I've seen, a lot of people say just mean things to them and posting it on their wall for everybody to see, and that's terrible. And not only that, but in the internet, it gives you this media so that way you can be anybody you want to be. You don't have to be your real self. You can be whoever you want, and that gives you a mask to hide behind. So maybe, I know if you aren't a bully, but you want to be mean to somebody, the internet is a great tool for you because you can be anybody you want. You don't get in trouble for it because nobody knows who you are. And it gives you this mask so you feel confident. You don't feel like, oh, well, I shouldn't be talking because etc. You can say whatever you want to say, and your fake identity is the one that's taking everything, the backlashing and such, so you don't feel bad. You find it really funny. And I'm just going to talk to you about a personal story, because when I was in junior high, I got my fair share of bullying. It was really bad in seventh grade. The year before that, I was just a normal kid, whatever, going to school. I had a lot of friends. It was really good. But a lot of things have happened into my personal life that caused me to be a lot more, I guess, depressed about things. I just looked at the world in such a different way. It wasn't this 100% positive life, and everything I felt could just lead to the end. And it was a terrible thing. And that was when I was weak. That was my weakest point in probably my entire life. I had no self-esteem, but I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my parents, and I have a relatively good relationship with my parents, and I could have come to them if I needed anything, or maybe even my older sister, because she would have definitely been there. And I did have a lot of friends that would have definitely supported me, but I felt embarrassed and ashamed to say anything about that. So I didn't tell anybody that I was feeling this way. And about this time, a lot of kids are taking bullying to the next level. You learn to say words that you didn't know when you were in elementary school. You learn to bully in ways that you heard, you know, your older brother and sister who went to high school. You heard all these stories about these bad things that were happening. And in junior high, it's kind of this experiment, more than even high school is. You're trying to figure out who you are because you're not a kid anymore. But then again, you're not necessarily a teen either. So you're trying to figure out. It's this kind of phase that everybody's trying to figure out who they want to start to become. And about this time, again, I was dealing with a lot of depressing, I guess. I don't really want to use that word, but things in my life. And I didn't tell anybody. And because of that, people didn't know how sensitive I was to hurtful words. And I guess that's another thing you should be aware of, is people will not tell everybody if they're feeling sad about something, and so they become more of a target, but it's a lot more sensitive to them. And I know that, you know, kids aren't these evil, destructive people. Kids are one of the most compassionate, even teens, they're very compassionate, and they sympathize and empathize with other people. But at the same time, you kind of got to let people know where you are just without really being too abrasive about it. But anyways, I'm going to get more into my personal story. So about this time, I was reflecting how I was feeling to how I was dressing. And I went to a parochial school. It was very tight. You knew everybody in the school. Everybody knew your first and last name and a whole lot about you. You grew up with these kids. I went to school with the same kids from the time I was 3 to the time I was 14. So we knew each other so well. And I was beginning to dress in dark clothing, and I put all my hair in my face. I wouldn't say anything. I would talk really quietly, and instead of kids wondering, you know, what's wrong, they kind of took it as a weird thing, like, why are you doing that? And they chose to target me instead. They picked on me for a lot of the things that was happening, and because of that, I mean, I guess I should have, you know, just sent, well, they're just being kids, whatever. I guess in seventh grade, you're more, you can try to push things off a little bit. But because I was so sensitive, I took things extremely personally. And my image kind of became a game to them. They would call me names, and they would put all their hair in their face, and then be, oh, look, I'm Mackenzie. And then they'd laugh. And I wouldn't react to it, like, negatively, so they didn't know it was hurting. I would just ignore them. And I think that probably gave them more of an incentive to try to anger me or provoke me. I think the fact that I wasn't saying anything at all probably made it a lot worse. And that was when I decided to go to a public middle school. And I was so overwhelmed when I went there. I thought that if I went to a new school, I could start all over. People wouldn't make fun of me. I would have such new friends. Nobody knew anything about me. I could be whoever I wanted to. But the reality is that it's a lot harder to change who you are. And in the end, it became even worse because I was exposed to a lot more kids. I was exposed to, effectively, a lot more bullying. So let's take a break. I'm Mackenzie. Keep it right here. We're going to talk more about my personal story and what I have to say about bullying in general. Well, you're listening to the Voice America Kids.
What's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun, times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back to the favorite TV shows of our childhood, your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take Two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field.
The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to America Today on Voice America Kids. Now, back to today's program.
Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie, and our topics today have been the rise in college costs, nutrition, bullying, morality and TV, and then a family reunion story. So we've already talked about rising college costs and nutrition, and right now talking about bullying. So I want to get back to my personal experience with bullying. So I was talking about how in seventh grade I went to a public high school for the first time, and going from 80 kids from preschool to eighth grade to thousands of kids in just two grades is huge change, and I really had no idea what I was getting myself into. All that I was thinking about was it's going to be a brand new start for me. But I didn't really change anything about myself. I just maybe assumed that people were going to be more accepting. And I did make a lot of new friends at when I went to a public high school, but I also, because there are more people, I mean, obviously you're going to have more bullies than my school where I had 14 kids in my class. And it really made it a lot worse because kids, I don't want to really talk about, like, you know, different schools and what can happen with bullying, but just when you're in a larger environment, there's not as much monitoring going on because you can't monitor every single kid's actions. And so kids can get away with a lot more in a public middle school versus a parochial school with like 14 kids in a class like mine. And what happened was I kind of just went in blindly and I thought, you know, people are going to accept me. But what happened was the exact same thing as my old school. I was kind of a joke and I was kind of amusing. And I really think about it now, and what could have been the best thing for me was just play along with their jokes and kind of laugh with it and become this character to them, and that could have been a positive thing for me. But instead, because I, in this point in my life, I took everything so personally that I thought, everybody's being so mean to me and I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it led to a serious incident where I ended up, after the next day, I had to go to my counselor and I had to tell her what was going on with my life. I basically just burst everything that was bothering me in front of her. And eventually I had to go to see a counselor and everything, and there was just so much attention all of a sudden. People were so amazed, like, what's going on? Why have you been missing school? What are you doing? Why all of a sudden am I hearing these rumors about you being sad and depressed and all of this stuff? And I didn't tell anybody, and that was probably my biggest mistake in junior high, is not telling anybody. So I want to tell you, if you're being bullied, just tell somebody. You don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to go up in your bully's face and say, you're hurting my feelings right now, and I'm taking it really terribly, because they probably won't respond to that. But you got to tell somebody, because eventually what happened is this still continued for the rest of the school year, and my best friend found out, and she was so concerned. And we used to live across the street from each other, so she'd come to my house every night for like 4 or 5 hours, and we'd just talk and have fun and just try to take all the negative things out. And I am so grateful to her for that, because I probably wouldn't be the optimistic person that I am today. But I just want to tell you, what really helped me besides telling somebody was finding something to do with my time that was positive, that kind of took away all the negative things that were in my head. And you hear a lot of these celebrity YouTube videos that are talking about if you're being bullied, what you can do. And they found all these things that could help them by finding something to do with their time. And for me, that was music, because I'd been playing music ever since I was a kid. But I quit piano in like fifth grade, and I started playing guitar. Well, that really honestly helped me, listening to music. And I wrote some music. It probably wasn't the best because I was 12. But still, it helped me release a lot of tension, and I became obsessed with the music industry, and it helped me so much to ignore all the negative things and find something to do with my energy other than be sad about everything. So if you're being bullied, I think the best thing that you can do is tell a very close friend that you would trust. And if you can't do that, then find something to do with your time, whether it's making videos or drawing or playing music or something like that, something where you can express yourself freely, be creative about it. That is the best thing that you can absolutely do. So earlier I was talking about there are three groups: the bullies, the victims, and the people who are looking at it. And I think that we need to focus on all of the groups that are in this. So I kind of already talked about if you're being bullied. Now, bullies themselves, I mean, they're not doing this for no reason at all. They're doing it because there are a lot of different reasons that people bully, actually. It could be that they're not getting enough attention academically. They are not getting enough attention from their parents or their friends. And so they take negative attention and kind of feed off of that. It could also be family issues. If you are dealing with some difficulties, some people may be inclined to get depressed about it, but some people may be inclined to bully other people about it to feel better about themselves. And I think the stigma that bullies are mean and terrible people and there's no good in them is not true at all, because bullies are kids too. They're people. And there are reasons why they're bullying. There's no reason why anybody grows up just naturally being a bully. It's because of something. It may be because they have like a need for power, and they want to get over people so that way they can make up for their lack of say or their voice at home. And it could be a lot of other things. So also, with paying attention to people who are being bullied, we need to pay attention to the bullies too and figure out what's going on with them, because they're not okay either. There's something wrong with them. And now the people that are just passersby, you hear a lot of things like, don't encourage bullying, don't laugh at it. And I know that you've heard this a million times, probably a school program or something, and it's hard to actually do that. But maybe instead of, you don't have to really, I guess, stand up for people, because that's also very intimidating. But, you know, if you're in high school or junior high, you're getting to a point where you're almost an adult, or you're growing to become the adult you are. And what you can kind of think of in your mentality is, I'm so close to being an adult. I don't know why I'm acting like a child. And you don't have to act like that all the time. You can still be a fun-loving kid, but you just have to realize that bullying serves absolutely no purpose. And maybe if you don't even want to put a negative spin on bullying, you can put a positive spin on the people who are getting bullied. So maybe you can help the people that are getting bullied by you know, helping them cope, build their confidence, or just be an optimistic person. That is the easiest thing you can do. You don't even have to be directly involved, but just being an optimistic person gives people who are being bullied or bullying a chance to see what it's like to be an optimistic person, and maybe they'd stop. All right, so right now I'm going to move to my last few topics. You're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie. Our topics that are coming up right now are reality TV. So reality TV, I'm not really going to actually talk about the entertainment side of it. I'm going to talk about the moralities in TV. So if you are a teen, you probably watch a lot of TV, maybe a little bit of TV, but whatever, you're exposed to it most likely. And if you look at these networks, you see a lot of these new shows are glorifying negative behavior. And I'm going to explain that because I don't really want to sound, again, like a prude, because I'm actually pretty liberal about this. It's just the way that people, maybe not necessarily are reacting to it, but the way that we are being educated. So I'm just going to explain everything that I just said right now. So these shows like Teen Mom or Jersey Shore, things like that, are actually glorifying negative behaviors or irresponsibility and bad choices with rewarding them with fame and attention. And I know that if you're a teen, it's cool to get attention and fame, to be known for something. And I myself, as a teenager, can't deny the appeal of being famous. But I can't help but look at these networks and see what they're promoting. And I don't want to sound like you have to monitor, the networks themselves have to monitor what they're showing on their network. But instead, I think that people just need to be more educated in what they're being exposed to. So, I mean, politically, I'm a pretty liberal person, but I also believe in smart choices. And it kind of annoys me when I see all these people just blindly making choices and not thinking about the obvious consequences. So when you're watching these TV shows that glorify these negative behaviors, I don't want you to stop watching them because you actually might enjoy them, and that's your right to enjoy them. I actually just want you to be more educated about what you're seeing and the reality of it, because TV is meant to glorify something. You don't really see the bad side of things, or if you do see the bad side, it's very dramatic and it gives it this cool appeal. And instead of, again, just avoiding TV altogether, because that's ridiculous, who's gonna do that? Who's gonna not want to watch the coolest shows out there? But instead, you should know that there are consequences to bad choices. I know that sounds like a very obvious thing, but people forget when they're watching TV that this isn't real and this is not what's really going to happen necessarily. And know that when people on TV do have consequences, that they're probably more glorified, or it seems more attractive to you because it's on TV and they become famous for it, or you are just baffled by it. But when it's actually happening to you, it's a lot different. It's not even attractive. So, right, instead of just ignoring TV, just think about what you're watching. And in everything you do, just think about the choices and the consequences and the costs that you'd have to make. I just want you to know that the choices that you make versus the choices that people make on TV aren't going to be the same. You have to not avoid the reality of things. Well, that's going to do it for my show. And, you know, if you feel free to disagree or agree, that's what we're all about here. But I just want to thank you for listening in. You're listening to Voice America Kids Network. I'm Mackenzie. Thank you for listening to America Today. See you next time. And keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Thanks again for being a part of America Today. We'll be back next week with more discussion of the news and politics that are shaping our future on the Voice America Kids channel.
The longer you live, listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.